Hi, welcome to this discussion about why breathe through the nose. An interesting question. In the yoga classes that we teach here at the Himalayan Institute, we always instruct our students, breathe in and out through the nose. Well, why? Why do we do that? Why is it important? And this is a topic that is not new. It's certainly not new to yoga, but it's not new even to Western science. But it's been kind of swept under the rug for a long time. So recently, there's been a great deal more interest in this topic in the general public. So we thought it timely to talk a little bit about it. The yogis of the Himalayan tradition clearly state that the breath is the link between the mind and the body. Our nose has a very unusual internal shape to it. There are lots of twisting passageways and channels that the air moves through as we breathe. And this is really important. It's not random that our nose is structured the way it is. When we breathe air in, it is directed in a very specific way through the nasal pharynx and before it goes down the trachea into the lungs. And what happens in the nose affects everything else in the body. The roof of the nose is the floor of the brain. So what happens in these nasal passageways in terms of the flow of air is going to affect what's happening above it. In addition, we know from our tradition that the breath is the vehicle by which prana is brought into the body. So the passageways that the air is moving through are also the passageways that prana is flowing through. And this very specific and precise direction of the flow of prana has a tremendous impact on our physical body, our mind, and our pranic body as well. The flow of prana through the body sustains the physical body. If the flow of prana is altered in some way, then our physical body is altered. If the flow of prana is altered very dramatically, then that can result in a very dramatic change in our physiology, for better or for worse. It works both ways. So I think many of us are familiar with the physiologic effects of breathing through the nose, but let's review some of these. We know that it warms the air as it passes through the nose before it gets down to our lungs. We know that it's a wonderful filter. The nasal hairs that we have trap large particles. The mucous membranes that lie the nose and the nasal pharynx capture smaller particles, dust, etc. And then we have mucus that sweeps that up and out. It facilitates drainage of the sinuses that are located in the maxillary sinuses and the frontal sinuses. And we all know what it feels like when those get stopped up when we have a bad cold or a sinus infection. If we didn't breathe through our nose, we wouldn't smell things very well. And our sense of smell also affects our sense of taste. If you have no sense of smell, your sense of taste is very much diminished. In addition, it reduces the likelihood of snoring and sleep apnea. Now, for those of you that might not be familiar with sleep apnea, this is a condition where, during sleep, people stop breathing. And then they wake themselves up, and then they fall back to sleep, and then they stop breathing again, and they wake up, and it just repeats over and over and over again. Okay. So this is a very dangerous condition because it has negative effects on our heart and other systems in the body. So snoring and sleep apnea can generally be avoided when we breathe through the nose as opposed to breathing through the mouth, but I'll come back and talk more about that later. And probably one of the most important aspects of breathing through the nose is that it facilitates the release and absorption of a gas called nitric oxide. Now, this is not to be confused with nitrous oxide or laughing gas that is used as a kind of an anesthetic agent. Nitric oxide is a chemical produced in the nose and in the sinuses adjacent to the nose. And as we inhale through the nose, this gas is released and inhaled into the lungs, and then it's absorbed into the bloodstream and circulated throughout the body. So what are the benefits of nitric oxide, I'd like to read to you some of these things so I don't miss any of them, because there's quite a few, actually. Number one, it's a vasodilator. It enlarges the blood vessels, which reduces blood pressure. So this can be really helpful for people who have high blood pressure. It prevents the blood from clotting too quickly. And blood clots are generally what are responsible for heart attacks and strokes. So by slowing down the clotting of blood, we can reduce the likelihood of strokes and heart attacks. Nitric oxide is anti-inflammatory, so it will decrease unnecessary inflammation occurring in the body. And inflammation is part and parcel of chronic stress. So nitric oxide can be very beneficial in that area as well. It boosts our immune defense against viruses, bacteria, and fungi. It promotes healthy digestion. It regulates our bladder function. It can enhance oxygen uptake by 10 to 25% by increasing the release of oxygen from hemoglobin. We transport most of our oxygen in the blood bound to a molecule called hemoglobin. It's found in red blood cells. So by making it easier for the red blood cell to release the oxygen, we can make it available for our tissues. Some diseases associated with low nitric oxide, and this would be true of people who are chronic mouth breathers because they're not getting the nitric oxide that their body is producing, would be high blood pressure, heart attacks, strokes, irritable bowel syndrome, Alzheimer's disease and other dementias, and bladder issues and erectile dysfunction. So I think it's clear that nitric oxide plays a critical role in so many physiologic functions for us, and that it can be a tremendous thing for maintaining optimal health and function in our bodies. And when we don't have nitric oxide, it creates a lot of problems for us. And so if we chronically mouth breathe, we're not going to have the nitric oxide. If we are breathing through the nose, we do. If breathing through the nose is so important and so healthy for us, why don't people breathe through the nose? Why doesn't everybody breathe through the nose? Well, I'd like to report a little bit of the research that's looked at this. How many people mouth breathe or don't breathe through the nose? So bear with me here. There was a study of 3 to 9-year-old children done in Brazil in 2008. And they found that 55% of these children were mouth breathers, chronic mouth breathers. Another study done in Brazil in 2013 with a similar age group of children found that 46% of them were regular mouth breathers. A study done in Japan in 2015 in 2 to 6-year-old children found that 36% of them were mouth breathers during the day, and 46% of them were mouth breathers at night. Estimates are among adults in the United States that 30 to 50% of people are mouth breathers on a regular basis. So why do people breathe through their mouths? Well, the number one reason is chronic stress and anxiety. You'll read in the literature that a stuffy nose is the main reason that people don't breathe through their nose, because it's hard, so they breathe through their mouth. But the number one cause of a stuffy nose is stress. Other reasons people breathe through their mouths is because they have a cold, they have a sinus infection, they have enlarged tonsils or adenoids, which make it difficult to breathe back here through the nose. They may have a deviated septum. And the shape of the mouth and the jaw can also affect a person's ability to breathe through the nose. So there are a variety of reasons why people are mouth breathers, most of which can be overcome, which we'll come back to in a moment. So what are the effects of mouth breathing over time? Well, they're similar in children and in adults, but I'll look at children first. There's a saying that the tongue is the architect of the mouth. And in people who mouth breathe, their tongue is in a different place than when they nose breathe. When people breathe through the nose, the tongue is generally pressed up against the hard palate at the roof of the mouth, and it comes up against the junction of the teeth and the gums in the back. When people breathe through their mouths, the tongue is low in the mouth and it's pressed up against the lower teeth. So it's not pushing up against the upper palate. As a result, the architecture of the mouth and the face changes in people who mouth breathe over time. So they develop a high arched palate, long narrow faces, and the jaw tends to recede. They tend to have a head forward kind of a posture. They're droopy, they're tired, they may have bags under their eyes. So these are all chronic effects of mouth breathing over time. In adults, it's many of the same sorts of things. The architecture of the face can change even into our 70s and 80s. We tend to think that it's fixed, but it's not. Some additional things that occur in people who mouth breathe chronically are the fact that their mouth gets dry because there isn't adequate saliva. That results in excess tooth decay, gum disease, bad breath, and altered breathing as well. Something I mentioned earlier with mouth breathing is that it is associated with snoring and it's associated with sleep apnea. And when people snore and have sleep apnea, and it's thought that a very high percentage of people, adults in the United States, snore, and a pretty high percentage also have sleep apnea too, whether it's been diagnosed or not. As a result, people are tired, they're less effective, their mood is affected. All of this is due to the effects of chronic mouth breathing. The good news is that chronic mouth breathing, like many other behavior patterns we have, is something that can be corrected. So let's look at some things that can help people breathe more easily through their noses and maybe less need to breathe through their mouths. Some very basic, simple things would include making sure that the air where you live is relatively clean. Maybe you need an air purifier. Maybe you need to open the windows, use a little less air conditioning, whatever it might be. Another wonderful thing to do is nasal irrigation, your neti wash. Do that every day or as often as you feel the need for it. This can go a long way to reducing the sinus stuffiness and stuff that many people have. Manage your stress. I mean, that's what a lot of what we do in yoga is for many people is to manage stress. So relaxation practices, certainly pranayama practices. It's really interesting. The research has shown that people who hum, who practice humming, can increase their nitric oxide level by 15-fold. Okay, so there is a pranayama practice called Brahmari where people are humming as they breathe. And this is another thing that people could do to help increase the production of nitric oxide as they're working towards developing more of a nose breathing pattern. Some other lifestyle things that might be helpful is to not eat for several hours, perhaps 3 or 4 hours before you retire for bed. This will decrease the likelihood of acid reflux, which has been associated with mouth breathing. Another thing is to avoid alcohol in the evening before you go to bed, because alcohol relaxes affects the musculature and connective tissue in the nasal pharynx and the throat, and that can lead to making it more difficult to breathe through the nose and more likelihood to breathe through the mouth. Another thing you can do is to try sleeping on your side. You're much more likely to mouth breathe and snore if you're lying flat on your back. So if you can either turn your head or sleep on your side, if that's doable, maybe you need to investigate a new pillow that's more appropriate, that's more comfortable for you, or even a new mattress. And last but not least, seek professional help. There are a variety of health professionals in the dental profession and in other areas that work with people who have structural issues that have resulted from mouth breathing and that perpetuate the practice. And they can work with you to help you change your oral architecture, if you will, in a way that will induce nasal breathing, and the internet is replete with before and after photographs that are quite dramatic of people's facial characteristics that have dramatically changed from before and after they've switched to nasal breathing. So we've seen the importance of breathing through the nose, and we've also seen that a lot of people breathe through their mouths for a wide variety of reasons, but that pattern can be corrected. and we can learn to breathe through our noses and enjoy all the benefits that breathing through the nose provides, including all the benefits of nitric oxide that we discussed. So if you're not sure what to do, by all means, consult with a healthcare practitioner. I hope this session has been informative and helpful to you. I wish you a great day. Thank you for listening.